Well, is made possible in part by Granert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting three operatic hits during the month of March: Leonard Bernstein's Candide, performed by the U of I Opera Program, Bizet's Carmen, and Verdi's Aida, performed by Opera Verdi Europa. For more information or tickets, visit GranertCenter.com. Support for today's broadcast comes from the Seaboat, with a southern style of cooking catfish, chicken, and shrimp, featuring the Seaboat Sandwich, two pieces of fish on a wheat bun with lettuce, tomato, and tartar sauce, and desserts like sweet potato pie. The Seaboat at Bradley and Market in Champaign. Delivery and catering services at 351-6209.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in today. A great friend of WILL and public broadcasting, Rick Steves, is our guest today on the program. Rick is the host of a popular travel series on public television, Rick Steves Europe. You can see the program Saturday evenings at 5:30 on our companion station, WILL-TV. Rick is also the author of more than two dozen best-selling European travel guidebooks, including Europe Through the Back Door. That title expresses his travel philosophy: get off the beaten path and make some new friends. Over the years, he's helped many, many people plan and enjoy wonderful trips to Europe, and I'm confident some of them are listening this afternoon to this program. Listeners, you are invited to join our conversation about traveling to Europe. Your questions are welcome. So, too, any tips you'd like to share about traveling in Europe? If you want to talk to Rick Steves, give us a phone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL and 800-222-WILL. Rick, good to talk with you. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back on your show.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, you're joining us this afternoon to talk with our listeners and to help us inspire listeners to make a contribution to the radio station. Maybe we could begin there.
Well, I think people understand the value of public broadcasting who are regular listeners to WILL. And boy, for me as a travel teacher, I am so thankful for the opportunity in our country to learn about the world, come home, and share it with my neighbors through either TV or radio. And boy, if we didn't have public broadcasting around here, my take on the world wouldn't see the light of day. I can promise you that. It's just people to people stuff, and as I like to say, it's not lifestyles of the rich and envious; it's lifestyles of you and me, and it's people's travel on people's broadcasting, and that's what we're talking about now. How we can make the world accessible and celebrate the beautiful diversity on this planet.
Yeah. Well, we've got a couple of incentives this afternoon to offer listeners who call. I'm going to give the number now for our pledge line, 217-244-9455, if you'd like to call in and make a pledge of financial support. Rick has provided us with some terrific incentives this afternoon. We've got two things going here this afternoon. At the $80 pledge level, you may choose from these two choices: Europe Through the Back Door 2005 or Best of Europe 2005. Now, if you double that pledge level to $160, we will send you Rick Steves' Smart Travel Kit. It contains four great items: Europe Through the Back Door 2005, Best of Europe 2005, French, Italian, German phrase book, and the Europe Planning Map.
And Celeste, when people are considering these, it's maybe they don't know exactly what's in the various titles. At the $80 level, they would get their choice, as you mentioned, of two different books. Europe Through the Back Door is a 600-page collection of all the tips that I've learned from my mistakes over the last 25 years of traveling through Europe. I really enjoy my role as your globe-trotting guinea pig. I go over there, lose my traveler's checks just to see what'll happen. When I get ripped off, I celebrate because they don't know who they just ripped off, and I'm going to stick that lesson I learned into this book so other people can learn from my mistakes rather than their own. So So that's the brand new 2005 edition of the book I wrote first back in 1980, and it's come out every year since. Fun project for me just in my work is to pack all the lessons I learned into this Europe Through the Back Door book. The other book that people will get when they, if they choose, at the $80 level is the Best of Europe book, which is a fine print 1,200-page collection of all my favorite hotels, restaurants, and sightseeing specifics all over Europe. These are the most important chapters from my various country and city guidebooks packed into this one all-Europe brick. Now, if travelers want both of those books, and if they want to support WILL in a more first-class way, about 50 cents a day, that's $160. For that pledge, we'd love to send them both of those books, what's that, 1,800 pages of information hot out of the rucksack, plus my 3-in-1 phrase book, French, Italian, and German. This is the best-selling phrase book in the United States. I wrote it after 20 years of struggling with the other phrase books, knowing that Berlitz really knew his language, but he never went to a hotel where you had to ask at what time is the water hot. These phrase books here that people will get when they support WILL really know what you need to know when you're standing in a phone booth trying to reconfirm your hotel reservation. Or it's just so fun if you're in a taxi that's going too fast in Rome to be able to say, if you don't slow down, I will vomit. Not only slowing down, but that'll start a conversation going. Plus, at that $160 level, people will get the map that I've designed that locates all the obscure places that I've been bringing people, thanks to public broadcasting in the last 15 years, on my 100 television shows. So we're calling it the Smart Travel Kit because it includes everything you need, the skills, the hotels and restaurants, the languages, the phrases, and the map. Plus, at every level, people will get my latest 64-page newsletter. But people are not buying books and maps right now. They're supporting public broadcasting, and that's why I'm on the phone. I'm so committed these days to Americans better understanding this planet. And a very good way to do that is travel, and another very good way to do that is to enjoy non-commercial broadcasting. And that's what we're all about here on public radio.
Okay. Let me give the pledge line number one more time here, and then we're going to talk with some listeners who are lined up ready to talk with you, Rick. If you'd like to make that pledge this afternoon, great time to do it this afternoon. Don't delay. 217-244-9455. That's 244-WILL. Rick Steves, our guest this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. Now, if you'd like to talk to Rick on the telephone this afternoon here on the program, here's the number to call, 333-9455. That's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Let's talk with our first listener this afternoon, a listener in Charleston on line four. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you? I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm fine. And what can we do for you this afternoon?
Well, I just want to tell your guest, Rick Steves, what a thrill it is to have him promoting public radio here in Central Illinois. As he says, public radio is a wonderful way to expand your horizons. But also I'd like to say thank you to him for his wonderful travel books. We made a trip with our family back in 2000 to London and Paris and surrounding areas. We had our two young children at the time with us, and some of our very best memories of that trip were of the places that we stayed that we got from the Europe Through the Back Door guidebook. It was a tremendously useful tool, and it kept us laughing all the way through England and France. So
I would imagine some of your fun memories are from the people that you met in your travels.
Yes, that's very true, and some of the people that we met were at bed and breakfast places that we stayed courtesy of your book. But yeah, we did meet some marvelous people.
Yeah, and when you're traveling with kids like you were, it's so great to give them a little insight into, you know, the day-to-day life of people in different countries, and you get that when you stay in people's homes. That's bed and breakfast. Every country has them. They're offering double the cultural intimacy for half the price of a hotel, and really that is a classic example of traveling through the back door.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, one of the bed and breakfast places that we stayed in the little town of, I think it's Rhee, France.
Right.
It's in the Normandy area. This place had a little kitten, and they let us keep their little kitten for a couple of nights, and our boys just absolutely adored that. We have many sweet little pictures of our children with the owner of this place and her cats, and feel like we sort of were part of the family.
How old were your kids at the time?
They were 10 and 5.
I bet that had a lasting impact on them.
Oh, absolutely. We still, you know, we still have little expressions that we use and funny jokes from that trip that refer to fun things that happened. So,
you know, 40 years later, I still have the same little expressions and jokes with my mom and dad after our trip when they took me to Europe as a kid. So that's a very good insight.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your wonderful work and for supporting public radio. Well,
thank you for your support, too.
Thanks for the call. Let's talk with another listener in Muhammad on line one. Hi. Line
Hello?
One? Yeah. Hello?
Hello, line one, Muhammad?
Yeah, that's you.
Sorry, the phone faded for just a second.
Okay.
Don't forget that number to call in. Let's repeat that number one more time.
244-9455. That's the number to make a pledge of financial support.
You betcha. Rick, it's great to hear you, and I have a question. We're going to be first-time European travelers in April and May. We are starting in Toulouse, France, where we will be hosted by a family that we met through the Rotary Club Exchange Program a couple of years ago. We hosted their kids, and so we're going to go visit them. We will end up in Madrid to visit my son, who is on a semester abroad, and he'll be finishing his semester. The question I have for you is, traveling between Toulouse and Madrid, we had intended to use the train, but the Internet's not telling me it's as easy as I thought it was going to be. What are your thoughts on that travel?
What is your name again?
Bert.
Bert. Bert, thanks for the question. You know, it's very important for people who are, especially first-timers going to Europe, not to be befuddled by their inability to find the transportation connection they're looking for on the Internet or something like this. In Europe, if there's people here and if there's people there, you can assume there is a reasonably efficient way to get between them, okay? From Toulouse, there are wonderful connections to the border of Spain where you'd pick up an express right down to Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's no problem with that. I've got a Thomas Cook timetable on my desk here, and I could look it up in 2 minutes for you if I had the time. But that's no problem. In fact, I wouldn't even worry about it until you get to Toulouse.
And if we were, if we had a couple of days to kill, would Barcelona or that kind of area be a good place to stop and spend a day?
That's a good question. There's all sorts of interesting places between basically southern France, where you're going to Toulouse, and then Madrid, which is the center of the Iberian Peninsula. I might encourage you to take the overnight train right to Madrid and have more time to side trip from Madrid. Toledo is wonderful. The Valley of the Fallen is a memorial to the Civil War. El Escorial is the Inquisition capital of Spain. Salamanca, Segovia, these are all some of my favorite places in Spain, and they're all within an hour or two of Madrid. Very easy
by
to
train.
Get you there.
And an hour or two by train?
You get there by train very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Three or four people could get there actually reasonably by taxi from Madrid
when
all the dust settles, if your time's worth anything. Your son, who's studying in Madrid, I'm sure could give you some tips on that. If you wanted to go to Barcelona, you would have a little complexity of getting from Toulouse to Barcelona, but it's certainly doable in a day. And then from Barcelona to Madrid, there are hourly shuttle flights or super fast sort of bullet trains that'll get you between those two capitals. The great thing about Barcelona these days is now that Europe is uniting, the Catalonian people no longer threatened Madrid. They don't threaten Spain, even though they're part of Spain, because nations in Europe are less threatened by regions because nations are less of a player. Europe is emerging as one big United States of Europe, and Brussels is the power center, and Brussels likes regions even more than nations. Therefore, the flags of Catalonia are waving in Barcelona, and people are doing their Sardana dance on the streets, and it's just a time where the variety of all the different ethnic groups in Europe is more vivid than ever.
Excellent.
Yeah, thanks for your call, and what an exciting reason you have to go to Europe to check in with your Rotary Club buddies there in Toulouse to get a sense of what's going on in Europe when you're in Toulouse. I think that's the center of Airbus, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Which is a huge industry now, and we can get a little reality check. As Europe unites, remember, it has a bigger GDP than the United States with 400 million people, and they have a very, very progressive and energetic policy of investing in their own infrastructure so they can be a huge, powerful free trade zone. And this is something that the United States needs to reckon with if we're going to be able to compete well with Europe in the future. And then, you go down to Spain, and you've got your son to be your own tour guide. So good luck.
Yes, and that's very true that Europe's getting bigger in industrially, but there is nothing that quite competes with the size of our Midwestern farms. And when our friends from France were over here, they were absolutely shocked and stunned by the size of the farms and the number of silos and the open space. They were absolutely stunned.
And the efficiency at which we're able to produce food, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's important for us to just connect and work efficiently and learn from each other, I think.
I want to thank the listener for his call this afternoon. You know, with the European Union now, is it easier to cross from one country into another?
Oh, Celeste, there's no borders anymore. I mean, when I'm a tour guide, I take groups around Europe, and all of our groups want to get their passport stamped. It just can't be done anymore when you cross the border. It's just a wave through. And now they've got the same coins everywhere.
Right.
So when Bert's in France or when Bert's in Spain or if he's going to even finish off in Ireland or Greece, he's going to have the same coins in his pocket. 12 or 13 countries have, 300 million people have the same euro coins in their pockets. So there's a lot of efficiencies in Europe. Now, the European Union has just decided that English will be the sort of uniform language of travel and commerce. So you'll find, I was just in the airport in Amsterdam, and I was amazed. The signs in the airport are in English only. So there's been a huge leap lately on how easy the language barrier is for us English speakers.
Okay. Let's talk with another listener, a caller in Indiana on line two. Hi, you're on the line with Rick Steves.
Hello. Certainly want to thank you for your TV shows and the books, and especially your interest in infrastructure. You know, as a side thing.
Thank you.
My question may be superfluous. I don't know. It is certainly nostalgic. When I first went to school, that first summer, I said, "Well, I'm going to New York City. I'm going to get me on a merchant marine, and I'm going to go around the Atlantic." Well, I found out that there's unions and there's all kinds of things, so I came back to Indiana with my tail between my legs. Then when I graduated, I said, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get on one of those tramp steamers and go around the Pacific. It turns out, when I talked to somebody that handles traveling stuff, that I missed the boat about 30 years, I guess, because that's a big thing now, too, for those people who want to sort of, get a little down and dirty. But what I was interesting, if it was possible, either using flight or boats, to sort of take the off routes around the Mediterranean and visit
flights or boats.
Yeah, I can. I'm talking about short planes that go out to an island and pick up things.
Yeah.
As one of those things are available, and if so, where does one start to find out about connections, or is it just like you said, just go to Toulouse and start from there?
Well,
Thanks, you can search.
You can search that in guidebooks and on the web. Guidebooks are very good. I mean, if you're thinking of going to Italy and you want to go to the islands of Sardinia or Corsica or Malta or Sicily, you would certainly have information in a good Italy guidebook that would tell you about overnight boat rides or flights to those places. I was just in Greece, and the ferry connections these days are just super. They've got hydrofoils and jet boats that zip between the islands like little jets almost, and so it's getting better and better that way. To get out to the Balearic Islands, Menorca, Mallorca, off of the coast of Spain and Barcelona, there are flights that are quite reasonable for local vacationers who zip over there for the weekend. So, sure, you can. A little planning in advance would help you out on that, but don't let your, if all you've ever experienced in the way of public transportation is the United States, you have no idea how good public transportation can be. In Europe now, there's all sorts of breathtaking transportation improvements. Last summer, I was photographing birds squished onto the windshields of trains in the train stations. They're coming into the station so fast. I mean, it's a routine thing now to peel off the birds. You'd wait all your life to see a bird squished onto a train window in the United States. But in Europe, they are investing in their rail like we just can't believe. From London to Paris now, of course, you got the English Channel tunnel train, 17 minutes under the English Channel, 10 departures a day, less than $100, 2.5 hours from Big Ben to the Eiffel Tower. And that's not fast enough. They're investing huge amounts of money to make that trip less time-consuming. It'll be 2 hours from Paris to London within just a couple of years. And again, that's just the tip of the infrastructure iceberg. You got little Norway with 4 million people drilling the longest tunnels in the world to lace together isolated communities on the fjords. Denmark and Sweden have just opened up a mammoth bridge so you can now drive from Copenhagen over to Sweden and Malmo. Day after day, the roads in Portugal were messing up my itinerary. I was arriving in town hours before I thought I would. And every time I go to Portugal now, I marvel at how many freeways there are. There's new freeways in Portugal. And with every freeway, there's a European flag reminding the locals that this freeway was built with money from the European Union. And that means France and Germany that are recognizing the weak links in this massive trade union now and getting them up to speed.
Yeah. I'm looking at your Europe planning map, and it is striking to see the transportation systems that are up and running now in Europe. I mean, you mark the high-speed rail and main lines, and, man, you can shoot from London to Edinburgh. And
that's the vision. Celeste, Europe is investing $500 billion in their infrastructure in these next few years. Remember, Europe has no real military budget. America spends half of its disposable income on our military. Now, you can debate whether that's a good investment or not, but the fact is Europe doesn't have that burden. We're doing the heavy lifting from the military side, and they're taking that same money and investing it in their infrastructure. And now when you look at that map, every year when I do that map, I extend the bullet train network that just is going out all over Europe, because the vision is that you could go from London to Rome lightning fast on rails. And that's where they're heading.
Yeah. You know, Rick, for a great read on the United States of Europe, look for the book by that title by T.R. Reid, the journalist.
I'm reading that book, and it is enthralling. What's it called again, Celeste?
The United States of Europe.
And the author?
T.R. Reid.
T.R. Reid. It is fascinating. And then I also just finished a book called The European Dream by Jeremy Rifkin. And I'm doing some reports on these things and some ideas on this at my website at ricksteves.com. There's a lot of this kind of information that I think is really important for America to grapple with, because it's just too simple to say Europe is old Europe and they don't count anymore. The reality is the world is making environmental regulations, and we don't need to join the club, but the fact is we can't trade with them unless we abide by their rules, whether or not we're members. So the reality is we're going to be joining those clubs by default, just because it's the only way we can have the business. I know the mayor of Seattle has just joined the Kyoto Protocol because our government doesn't believe in global warming. It's a way that we can trade with the rest of the world, because all of our trading partners here on the West Coast are members of that club. Hey, let's review one more time, if you don't mind, the pledge levels, because we'd love to get people on board here at WILL. And this is a pledge break. This is sort of the broadcast equivalent of refueling, if you like, the ability of public broadcasting to take the world into your living room. Right now, you can get on board, and we're sweetening the pie with some very nice thank you gifts. There's two levels. You can pledge at $80 or $160. At $80, we'd love to thank you with your choice of one of my two most important books, Europe Through the Back Door. That's the skills book, the brand new 2005 edition of the best-selling Europe guidebook in the country. 600 pages of all the lessons I've learned from 25 years of making the mistakes so you can learn from mine rather than your own and travel smoother. That's Europe Through the Back Door, the Kama Sutra of European travel fun. Or you can have the 1,200-page collection of all my favorite hotels, restaurants, and sightseeing specifics. That's Best of Europe 2005. Either of those for $80. If you'd like both of those books, well, at $160, we'll give you both those books, plus the French, Italian, German phrase book that I've designed and the one that I use to have fun with all my friends in Europe, and the map that Celeste was mentioning that connects you with all, that shows you all of my favorite discoveries. This map I've built from scratch with all my guides and consultants and a great map maker with wonderful software, and it is a map designed to show you the hard-to-find little obscure discoveries that I've built my business on. And if you've seen anything in my TV shows on WILL over the last 15 years, rest assured, those places pop out on this map. This map would be a cruel stunt to give to a trucker trying to find Stuttgart, but if you're trying to find my favorite discoveries, this is a godsend for your travel planning. All those gifts, plus the 64-page newsletter, are yours for a pledge right now to WILL. Please give us a call. Thanks for your generous help.
Yeah, and the number to call with a pledge of financial support, 217, that's the area code, and the number, 244-9455-244-WILL, or if you want it all in letters, Big Will. 244-9455. Now, if you'd like.
Big Will, I like that.
Big Will, yeah.
Now I know your phone number.
There you go. It's easy to remember it that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Big Will. And if you'd like to talk to Rick this afternoon, if you want to join us here on the air, here's the phone number if you're listening in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL and 333-WILL. You know, I can imagine families or couples or an individual sitting at the dining room table or sprawled out on the living room floor with this planning map, just having a great time deciding where to go and what to see. You know,
I'm gazing at it right now, Celeste. I've got it on my office wall. It's a wonderful thing to have.
Yeah, just a wonderful. Just the idea of, you know, planning the trip. There's a lot of excitement right there. Let's talk with a listener who's waiting to talk with Rick Steves. Caller on line one in Champaign. Hi.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I'm sorry?
What can we do for you?
I have a travel-related photography question, actually.
Okay. And what's your name?
Leanne,
okay.
I just got a new digital SLR camera, and it's a little bulky. Do you think it's worth it to have the extra bulk to take it, or should I look for something a little smaller to take with me when traveling.
Well, you know, bulky cameras, if they're good cameras, they're bulky for a reason. And, you know, serious photographers carry the bulk with them. My cameraman carries something that's hard to carry onto the airplane. It's so big for my TV shows, and, you know, it's worth it because he's really focusing on the photography. I carry, I love my photography, and so I carry a little extra gear because of that. I would imagine if you're a serious photographer, you have better lenses with a bigger camera, and you probably have some options that you wouldn't have in a smaller camera. For most people, I find a small camera is better because you're more likely to have it with you all the time.
Right.
I just bought a smaller digital camera than my old Nikon Coolpix because I can stick it in my pocket, and I really prefer having, trading off a little bit of what my old camera gave me for having the fact that my camera's in my pocket all the time.
Right.
And these days, boy, with the digital cameras, it's just wonderful. I used to carry a whole Ziploc baggie full of film canisters. Remember those days? Now I invested in a 1 gigabyte flash card or memory card, and I can shoot as many shots as I'll need on my trip with that one little flash card. So right there, I've saved 10 or 15% of my total baggage by not having to carry all that film with me.
Okay. I'm just afraid, too, of looking too touristy. Walking around with a big camera.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And American tourists, you don't want to be identified as a tourist. It's not the end of the world, but when you have a camera bouncing on your belly, it just sort of says yodel, you know? And the people think you're looking for people in traditional costumes, and you're just sort of got a bubble, and you're just capturing their image to take home and show your friends that don't get over overseas much or whatever. I think it's great to be taking photographs, but when you're not taking photographs, stow that camera. And then you're much closer to the Europe you came to see. And it's just a real problem for a lot of travelers to look at their whole trip through their viewfinders. So bring a good camera, enjoy your photography, know how to use it. That's a key thing. If you got a digital camera, I really like it because I shoot a lot of shots. And then every night in my room, my wife and I have this wonderful little treat of going through all the shots and then deleting the ones we don't like. And we distill it down to a good show. When you fill up your flash card, you can drop by any major photo shop in Europe. And for $10, you can burn a disc. And then you have all of your shots as a backup, you see, which is very nice. You can mail it home, and for me, that's peace of mind. There's an important chapter on photography for travelers in my Europe Through the Back Door book, and today people who are pledging at the $80 level or at the $160 level will be getting that entire book, and that's just a good example of the kind of material that would be in that book. Anything that's on people's mind before their trips, I've, over 25 years and 20 editions in this book, have been able to do some research and have my own experience and put my thoughts in the book, so I hope that's helpful for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Have a great time. 333-9455, the number in Champaign-Urbana if you'd like to talk to Rick Steves this afternoon. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. In Europe Through the Back Door, one of the chapters is about packing, and I think the title is Pack Light, Pack Light, Pack Light.
That was the name of the chapter in 1980 when I self-published that book, when I just typewritten book, and that's the name of the chapter today. It is very important.
Yeah. Well, how light should we pack? Can you give us some tips?
Okay. Packing light is very important. In Europe, you'll find two kinds of travelers, those who pack light and those who wished they packed light. And, I mean, it's just something you learn with experience. Think about it. You'll never meet anybody who, after five trips, brags, "Every year I pack heavier." With experience, you get serious about packing light, and that applies to men and women. I know I don't have a lot of credibility among women in their packing light, so in Europe Through the Back Door, there's a very important chapter by the women in my office on women packing light and smart. I work with 60 people here at Europe Through the Back Door in Seattle, and most of them are women. They're great travelers. They pack as light as I do. Last year, we took 6,000 people on our different tours from Europe Through the Back Door. None of these people were allowed to check any luggage when they left home. 9 by 22 by 14 inches is the limit that we set. That's as much as you can carry onto the airplane. Now, for a lot of people, that was a radical concept. What, 9 by 22 by 14 inches? That was my cosmetics kit. So that's everything. And you get over there, and you're glad you packed light. I've never met anybody over there who was upset with me for kind of strong-arming them into packing light. You get over there, and you realize this is a good way to go. We have a vacation from all of the material and cosmetic clutter that messes up our lives here. You're over there, you're living simply, you're connecting with the land and the culture. What do you need to bring, Celeste? Well, one problem with living in a wealthy, affluent country like ours is you're sort of trained to be prepared for every case, you know, and bring your extras and bring your backups and so on. I would pack for the best scenario, not the worst scenario. If it starts to rain, buy an umbrella. It's just $6 or $7, you know. Bring well-worn clothes that you know are comfortable and functional. Layer it for warmth. You need to be decent looking, but you don't need to be formal. I've never went to a restaurant where I had to have a coat and a tie, but I do want to look decent because then you'll get more respect and it's just a better style of travel. Many people don't think you can get certain things in Europe. That's travel advice from the 1960s. They've got everything over there. If they don't have one of your essentials, you should ask yourself how 400 yeah. million people can live without it. We don't have time to get into all the details on packing, but I'll tell you, in post 9/11 travel, there's absolutely no difference in how you pack. You just can't carry on knives. You just check your bag if you want to bring a Swiss Army knife. Or for the first time in 20 years, I didn't bring a Swiss Army knife after 9/11 because I carry on my bag. And it occurred to me when I got over there, I didn't really need my Swiss Army knife. I'm not a vagabond anymore. My wine comes with the cork already pulled out of it and so on. So, you know, you're just fine. All the specifics on packing light and packing smartly are in the Europe Through the Back Door that folks are getting when they're calling in now.
Okay, and let's talk with another listener. A listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Line one?
That's you.
Yeah, I'm Havana. Hi, Celeste. And
yes.
Rick, this is Judy. Celeste has been kind enough to have us on her show a couple of times.
Hi, Judy.
Hi. We teach a travel bargains class here for Urbana Adult Ed, and we have another class coming up in March. Well, actually two, one in March and one in April. What I was wondering was whether some of what I've been reading about the Eurostar is true. We were there about a year ago and took it through the channel from London to Paris, and when we got back, I was reading that it may be in serious financial trouble, and there are some questions about whether it will be around much longer. I was just wondering if you'd heard anything.
Wow. I just talked to the president of French Rail.
Uh-huh.
He's the guy who's big time with all the rail passes and everything at Europe Through the Back Door. We sell a lot of Eurail passes.
Right.
The big deal is getting that Eurostar connection from Paris to Brussels, or from London to Brussels, or from London to Paris.
Uh-huh.
The Eurostar is a fancy... The name for the fancy express train is the one that goes under the English Channel.
Right,
tunnel,
yeah.
17 minutes.
And it's wonderful.
It's wonderful. And there's always moaning about how it's not making as much money as they want. I don't think the European governments subsidize things they want to survive, and I can't imagine that would go down. I would say the news that the president of French Rail gave me was they're going to start selling it like airplanes. Airplane tickets, where travel agencies in Europe will book people on this, and the departures will cost different amounts depending on when you leave and when you purchase the ticket and from which direction you're going. Consequently, if they find more demand going from Paris to London, they'll charge more for that trip than
sure.
London to Brussels, which might, you know, that's how the airline industry works.
Right,
they're experts
yeah.
at perfect price discrimination. So they're going to do whatever they can to wring more money out of that system. And I would remind Americans that it's getting quite expensive to travel on the trains in Europe. But remember, you're traveling very, very fast and very, very comfortable. When I'm doing my research, I'm over there for 100 days out of the year with researching and updating my guidebooks. I work very hard in a city for a day and a half, and then I've got all my notes and all my scribbles, and then I take a three-hour train ride, and I'm just immersed in my laptop and in my work like a local businessman.
Oh, yeah, they are fabulous. And one thing that we have particularly enjoyed when we were in Brussels a couple of years ago was the discount that senior citizens get. Since we're in that category now, we were just astounded at how inexpensive it was to go from Brussels to Bruges or to Antwerp.
I'm sorry, Judy, was that how expensive or inexpensive?
How inexpensive. I think for senior citizens, the round-trip ticket that we got from Brussels to Bruges cost the equivalent of $2.20. It was just amazing.
Well, from Brussels to Bruges,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Well, that's, what's that, an hour and a half ride or something?
Oh, it's not even that.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how you can get around in Europe if you establish a home base and use the public
mm-hmm.
transit. And
oh,
if
we
you're
always
a senior,
do.
If you're a senior, look into that. A lot of times a senior is 60 or over or 62
mm-hmm.
or 65, and your spouse goes along with the same discount regardless of your spouse's age.
Yeah, it's absolutely fabulous. Wish we had things like that here.
Yeah, I do, too. Well, you know, that's the fun thing about European travel is we get to take a look at a different approach to
yes.
social problems.
Yes.
And this is an opportunity for us not to just embrace everything that they do in a sort of romantic, rosy-colored way, but just to learn from that and challenge ourselves to do better on some of these age-old problems that don't seem to go away. Europe has been around a long time.
Oh,
they
yes.
work less than us, and in every measure except... how much money you make or how much material stuff you have, you can say they live better than us, and they choose to make a little less money than us and work quite a bit less.
Yeah,
than
I think there's some lessons to be learned there.
And that's, to me, that's quite challenging.
Yes, but
thank
very,
you very
fun
much
and
for
interesting.
Your
well, thanks for your information.
Yeah, and when we were thinking about all of these ins and outs of train travel, and you might want to compare that to car travel and so on, Remember, that's a very important key decision you make when you're planning your trip. Are you going to go by car or by train? And that would be dealt with in Europe through the back door, one of the books we're offering to people supporting us today. If you believe in WILL as an important part of your community, and boy, I've raised our kids on public broadcasting, and it gives me my news, and I'm so thankful for public broadcasting, and it allows me a way to share my love of travel and learning about the world by leaving our country and then coming home and being happier American as well as a better citizen of the planet. If you value that in public broadcasting, this is the time to make a difference because we need your help. If you can pledge right now for WILL, you can pledge at $80 or $160. At $80, we'd love to send you as a thank you, your choice, either Europe Through the Back Door, that's the skills book, 600 pages of everything I've been talking about for the last half hour, or you could have the 12 or 1,400-page fine print collection of all my favorite hotels, restaurants, and sightseeing specifics. That's called The Best of Europe. Even if you're not in a philanthropic mood right now, I promise you, you or your loved one in Europe with that book, you'll save that $80 every day because of the information in that book and have a better trip to boot. If you'd like both of those books, well then, pledge WILL for $160. That's 50 cents a day. You can probably afford that. And then we'd love to send you everything we're talking about, both those books, plus the map that I've designed showing all my favorite discoveries, and the 3-in-1 phrase book, French, Italian, and German, with all sorts of fun ways to connect with Europeans. And you get the 64-page newsletter that explains all the things that I do at my work here in Seattle at Europe Through the Back Door. If you're curious about joining us on our 250 tours that we take around Europe every year, if you want to know about new TV shows that we're doing or all about the rail passes or whatever, that's the way to connect. So if you got a trip coming up in the next 10 or 15 years, get on board. Pledge for WIL. Every time you listen to this show, you'll be thankful that you're part of the team.
50 cents a day. I mean, that supports WILL in a wonderful way. It's so important that we have our listeners supporting us to keep us going strong here throughout the year and in the years to come. 50 cents a day. And then if you're going to Europe, 50 cents a day, you've got this whole smart travel kit. You're going to, like, Rick said,
stakes are high.
Yeah.
The stakes are high. Yeah. The dollar's not as high as we'd like it, but you can still have a blast over there without going broke. I sure do. Mm-hmm. And you want the information. That's what this is all about.
Okay. And with that pledge of support, get to a phone, pick up the phone and call 217-244-9455. 244-WILL or big, BIGWILL.
Big Will. Hey, Celeste, if I could just interject, you know, we had a very good time last time I came to Urbana for the TV show, and then I've been on your radio show a couple of times. And because of that, my show is run on TV Saturday evenings at 5:30. And because of that, I'm producing a weekly hour for public radio. And Urbana has already asked if they can have my show in your lineup when
right.
we did our show together. This is something I've just been doing the last couple months, but I'm very excited about producing a weekly hour of talk travel for public radio. And we're originating in Seattle, and I think Urbana will be one of the very first stations in the country to carry the show. But that's because you care about your listeners. Your listeners respond to a pledge drive like this. This is community broadcasting, and you don't find that anywhere else. There's not a whiff of corporate interest in this. This is community broadcasting, and that's why we're scrambling right now to get you folks on board.
Yeah, and I know that Jay Pierce, who is our station manager and also is wearing the hat these days of a program director, he's very excited to have your radio program coming up in the lineup down the line as soon as it's all ready to go.
It's funny, when you start a weekly hour, I'm just learning a lot about public radio. They call it the tyranny of a weekly hour. You've got to produce an hour a week.
Yeah.
It's got to be top quality. We're going to commit ourselves to that. Right now, I'm doing interviews from all sorts of fascinating people from around the world, and our show will be up and running in April, and I hope it'll be on at WILL. But, of course, they need to hear from you. So this is a very good way to vote for travel on your public radio station. Give us a ring right now. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, and that number to call with a pledge of financial support, 217-244-9455. Well, now let's go and talk with some listeners. One listening in St. Joe on line 2. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hey, what's your name?
Sheila.
Sheila, all right. What's on your mind?
Well, I love your show. I've been watching it for years, and I'm really excited to hear you on the radio on our little local station. A couple questions. My family is from Scotland, and I lived there for 5 years. My husband's brother lives in Switzerland, and we're trying to get a trip planned at some point this year. Any feeling as far as, you know, when you're trying to pick a time of year to go to Europe? I always end up just spending all my time in Scotland, but I always wanted to go to Italy and go to all the places you go. What time of year would you recommend trying to plan something like that?
Well, every season has its pros and cons. If
sure.
people are listening now and they're wondering whether all of this European adventure is a bit demanding on them physically, I will remind you the most grueling thing about European travel is the heat and the crowds of summer. It's
yeah.
very hot over there, and it's just, I mean, it's amazingly hot in the summer on the Mediterranean area, and it's very crowded with tourists. And you may think Americans aren't traveling as much. Actually, they're traveling plenty. 12 million Americans went to Europe last year, had a blast. But more Europeans and other people are traveling, it seems, than ever before. My take on it is it's crowded over there in July and August. So if you can steer it into shoulder season, you're smart. April, May, September, October, those are my favorite months. Now, if you're talking Scotland, Sheila, that's a different story. You want summer in Scotland because you want long days and you want some action. And up in the north, Scandinavian Scotland, it gets pretty bleak in the off-season. There's
yeah,
not many Greece. People out. You see,
Greece
so I would say to remember that if you have a long trip, start in the north where the weather is a concern and do that in peak season where there's never any serious tour crowds anyways. And then in September, move on south where you'll get more moderate weather and less crowds in the more popular areas like Italy or Switzerland. But Scotland, I would say, never has really serious crowds. The more people, the better up there.
Yes, and the word for that weather in Scotland is dreicht.
What is the word again?
Dreicht.
Dreicht. And they say there's no bad weather, just inappropriate clothing.
That's right. That's right. Well, it was very nice talking to you, and I'm going to pledge and get your books. Thanks
Good
so
luck
lot.
With your travel.
Okay.
Thanks a lot,
okay.
Sheila.
Great. And I want to let listeners know that our volunteers are ready to take some more calls. I know we've got a couple of listeners talking with volunteers now in Pledge Central at 217-244-9455. But we've also got a couple of phone lines open, so great time to call, 244-WILL.
And if people aren't getting through and they have a concern or whatever or want to know more about what we're doing, if I could just mention our website is myname.com, ricksteves.com. And then get the latest on our radio show there or what TV shows are in the works and all our monthly travel newsletter and so on.
Yeah, and also there's a great graffiti wall message board. I love that.
That is so much fun. And all these questions that people have had about weather, about children, about seniors, about digital cameras, they're on the graffiti wall. There's discussions going on just about those topics. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, very people to person to person, people to people.
People to people. Public broadcasting,
right.
Public travel. Europe through the back door.
Let's go and talk with another listener. Champagne, line 3. Hi.
Hi. I wonder if what their application is to the U.S. through the back door. I find the country absolutely fascinating, and with Amtrak sort of trying to die and other things like that, I wonder what your suggestions are for the counterpart in the U.S.
I don't know much about traveling in the U.S. Someday I'll travel in the U.S., but I'm very enthusiastic about my opportunity to teach Americans to explore Europe, enjoying maximum travel thrills for every mile, minute, and dollar. And, you know, if I get on an airplane for 5 hours, I'd rather stay on it for another 3 or 4 and get all the way to Europe. So for me, I get my travel thrills in Europe, but I'm sure there's plenty of the equivalent in the United States. I've had friends in Europe who write guidebooks for Europeans coming to America with the same sort of philosophy about how to get off the beaten path, how to drive the little road.
We need to know about that.
I think so. I think that would be great.
Can you mention any book that is counter to your own that would give that sort of information to people coming to the U.S.?
Well, there's a series called Moon Publications, and Moon guidebooks cover each state in the United States, and your local travel bookstores would have good advice in that regard. Or you could go online and find some of the online sellers of books. But there are books for getting off the beaten path in America. I've used them on occasion here and there and find that they're just as applicable as my style of travel in Europe.
We need people like yourself to work on the infrastructure that you're talking about in Europe. We need an infrastructure for the U.S. that does this sort of thing.
Thank you. Well, that is an issue that we all need to deal with, and I won't get political here, but, boy, it's a matter of priorities, and it's not a matter of money. There's plenty of money. It's just what are we going to do with our money, and we can learn from other countries that way, too.
Yeah. And, you know, my husband and I met someone last summer. I believe it was last summer, and he was from France visiting in the U.S., and he reminded me of you, Rick, because he was doing, you know, that Europe through the back door You know, that's how to do it. That's the technique. That's the philosophy.
Yeah.
He had it down. He was doing it here.
Oh, I am inspired by that. Right now, I've got 80 guides. All of the guides are in town in Seattle for our annual tour alumni party, where we invite all the people who traveled with us for a massing of the scrapbooks and a series of big potlucks. And I had 70 or 80 of these guys in my living room dancing till midnight last Friday. And each of them are these great travelers, and I think of them as European travelers, but the way they are exploring here the northwest of the United States is exactly the same kind of style. So
right.
The fundamentals of this kind of travel are the same. I once wrote a book called Asia Through the Back Door when I traveled there a lot, and it was basically an Asiafication of my Europe tips, and people loved that book. And, you know, I've had friends come here from Holland, and they end up staying in my home, and you can stay in homes anywhere. And then they went to my daughter's fifth grade class and did a Q&A time on what it's like to live in Holland. You know, the boy with his finger in the dike and wooden shoes and all these fun things that they shared from their culture. And at the same time, they were learning because the kids were asking them questions that gave them an intimate insight into our culture. So it's a great opportunity both ways. And that was a good example of people-to-people travel.
Yeah, yeah. You strike up a conversation. You ask somebody what their recommendation would be for where to have lunch or dinner.
And a great thing about America is people are so casual and friendly and informal. And that's something that charms Europeans. Europeans like that about us. They're not always that good at it themselves, but I think they admire us for that friendliness and that casual conviviality.
Yeah. Well, this young man was studying here at the University of Illinois from France, and every opportunity he got, he was on the train or on a bus or on a plane going somewhere, and we had a wonderful time giving him a lift, and he was telling us about where he'd been and what he'd been doing. And that was just fabulous.
It's so fun to just meld these different cultures. I was having lunch with a friend of mine from Iceland just yesterday, and there was a lull in the conversation. And he thought I was a little uneasy because nobody was talking. And he said, I've been Icelandized, and in Iceland we don't talk unless we have something to say, and we don't get anxious about it. And I thought, well, that's a fascinating thing I just learned about Iceland. They can sit there quietly having lunch and not feel like it's a bad conversation.
Right, right. We're out of time. We've got to wrap it up here. In fact, we've strayed a little bit beyond our time. So again, Rick,
let's review one more
make
time.
Make that invitation one more time.
Yeah, please. If you like what you heard right now, that's what WILL is all about. And I'm telling you, public broadcasting is more important to our society right now than ever before. That's why I'm spending this time with the folks in Urbana and Champaign right now, because I believe that this is part of the fabric of our society. If you agree with that, get on board. We're just asking it for $80 or $160 for your yearly pledge, whatever's comfortable with you. At $80, we'd love to thank you with your choice. Europe Through the Back Door, 600 pages of every tip I've learned from the last 25 years of making the mistakes for you so you can learn from me. That's the Kama Sutra of European Travel Fund. That's the how-to book, Europe Through the Back Door. Or The Best of Europe, 1,400 pages of all my favorite hotels, restaurants, and sightseeing specifics, the brand new 2005 edition. If you'd like both those books, plus the map, plus the phrasebook, get on board right now at $160. And remember, at both levels, you will get my latest 64-page budget travel newsletter. Most importantly, every time you listen to this show in the future, you'll feel good because you're doing your share. In fact, you're doing more than your share, and that's a good thing to do. Thanks for your support and happy travels.
Thanks, Rick. Take care. Rick Steves has been our guest this afternoon in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. That $80 pledge level, 25 cents a day, $160 contribution, 50 cents a day. The number to call with your pledge of support, 217-244-9455, 244-WILL, Big Will, 244-9455. We've got some phone lines open, a couple people calling in at the moment, but you can get right in because we have three volunteers. We've got two volunteers busy on the phone. We've got three standing by. Make your pledge today, 217-244-9455. By the way, you can see Rick Steves, Europe, on our companion station, WILL-TV, Saturday evenings at 5:30, and stay tuned for Rick Steves' radio program coming up later this year here on AM 580. 5 minutes before 2 o'clock Central Time, settlement prices should be in from the Chicago Board of Trade. Here's Todd Gleason.
Thanks much, Celeste. You bet they're in. And that after the WASD reports were released this morning, those numbers trading like this at the Chicago Board of Trade. Let's begin in the wheat pit where the March contract, down a penny and three quarters today, had a high of 293 and three quarters, a low at 289 and a half. Settlement price there, $2.90 a bushel. and they were off a penny and three quarters. May futures in the wheat pit, 301, the high, the low, 297 and three quarters. Settlement price at 299. They were off a penny and a half for the day. And the July contract at 307 at a quarter high, low at 304. Settlement price for the July wheat, that's your harvest month, 304 and a half, and they were off three quarters for the day. September futures on this day finished at 312 and a half on the high, the low at 309 and a quarter, settlement price at 310, and they finished up a quarter of a cent. December futures, a 321 high, low at 317 and three quarters, settlement price at 318 and three quarters. They were up three quarters for the day as the settlements came across this afternoon. On this Wednesday afternoon, March corn finished at 195 and three quarter high, low at 194 and a half, and a settlement price at $1.95 even, and they finished the day up a quarter of a cent. As we look at the numbers as they came from across from the Chicago Board of Trade, or rather from the USDA this morning in those numbers, ending stocks like this for the corn at 2.01 billion for the 40405 ending stock estimate. That is just below their average trade estimate of 2.042 billion and up from the 1.96 billion bushel estimate in January from USDA. May corn now, 203 and a quarter the high, the low at 202, settlement price at 203, they were up a quarter. July futures, 210 and a quarter the high, low at 209, settlement price at 209 and three quarters, unchanged. September unchanged, as was the December contract. September like this, 217 and three quarters the high, the low at 17, settled at 17 and three quarters up on the high, but it was unchanged on the day. The December futures, 227 and three quarters the high, the low at 226 and three quarters, settled at 227 and a quarter, unchanged. March corn, 235 the high, the low at 234 and a quarter, settled at 234 and three quarters. They were off a quarter of a cent for the day. The March oats at 163 high, low at 160 and three quarters, settled 161 and a half, unchanged for the day. And the May contract, the 158 high, low at 57, settled 57 and a half. They were unchanged. March soybeans now, 512 the high, the low at 503 and a half, a settlement price at $5.10 and three quarter cents. A lot of rolling here from the March to the May contract throughout the day, as this was first notice day for the March soybeans. They finished up 7 1/4. The May futures were up 4 3/4, 5.11 1/4 to the settlement price, with an 11 1/2 high and a low at 4 1/2. July soybeans now, 5.14 3/4 the high, the low at 5.08 1/2, settlement price 5.13 1/2. They were up 2 3/4. And the August futures, 5.15 1/2 the high, the low at $5.12, settled 5.15 1/2. They were up 3. September, 5.18 the high, the low at 5.14 1/2. And September beans settled at $5.17 a bushel, up 2 3/4. Your new crop November, 5.26 the high, the low at 19 1/2, settled at 5.24 1/4 for the new November beans, up 2 cents. March bean meal now, 153.50 the high, the low at 50.20, settled at 153.30. They were up 2.80. And the May, 152.40, up 160 for the day. The March bean oil, 19.25, the high, the low at 19.07, settlement price at $19.15. They were off 2 cents. And the May bean oil off 8 cents at $19.31. Now here's Celeste Quinn with the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange.
March feeder cattle, 101.25 the high, $100.80 the low, $100.92 the settlement, that up 2 1/2. April, $100.45 the high, $99.90 the low, $100.05 the settlement, that down 27 1/2. May, $99.55 the high, $90.